Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Hours. I am joined by my new friend, Edward LeBlanc, and a fellow Louisianian. Excited to have Edward on the podcast. He has visited with Tyler. You can find him in our Savvy Classroom in some of the webinar stuff. He always has really, really good shares in the basketball world. He has done some work with PGC directing and also is the owner of Court Sessions. Edward, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me. You know, Court Sessions Basketball serves as an outlet and a resource for consulting for coaches and players and teams and organizations. You know, we do player development. We do coach and curriculum development. We actually write some curriculum for different entities around the country. We work with coaches in terms of culture, leadership, and planning out what they're trying to do and how they're trying to do it, all the way from middle school to colleges. As you mentioned, also I'm a leadership director for PGC, Point Guard College, primarily doing a lot of this stuff in the summer in our residential courses. I tell people all the time, I'm really fortunate. I can say that now, can always say that, but I'm really fortunate. I've never really had a real job. I've always just kind of coached basketball. So feel very fortunate to be able to say that, and looking forward to talking with you today.
Yeah, man. I don't feel like I have a real job either, so it's pretty cool. But I'm sure you work hard, as do I, but it's we love doing what we do, so being able to do basketball full-time is awesome. All right, let's jump in, man. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on modern basketball. So big question for you is, like, what is modern basketball to you? What are you diving into lately? What are, like, the big things that coaches should know if they are interested in moving towards more modern basketball approach?
That's all, huh? That's all we're talking about? Just
that's it, man. Question. That's just a simple question. You know, you can wrap that up in a couple sentences.
Yeah. Modern basketball. I mean, that, you know, we could go macro or micro, right, with this. And everything I think I'm going to say could be its own segment. I think what modern basketball is for me is the ability for a coach to ask why they're doing something they're doing and to not hold something so dear. Because I don't think modern basketball is something as simple as this is what you do now in modern basketball. Because if you do that, then you're also creating the problem you're trying to run from or avoid. Right. So I think it's you're not as tied to outcomes and you're also not as tied to the way to get to an outcome per se in terms of drills or sets or ways you teach or lineups. It's more conceptual based. It's more principle, not procedure based. It's more confident coaching and more teaching. And it's the ability to challenge everything that's made you successful in the hopes of making you more successful. And I think modern teaching I keep going back to teaching is the courage to be able to do that. And you know, I think that, you know, in football, you hear all the terms all the time, players coach. I think that, that's a real opportunity for our coaches in our sport to become a player's coach around their non-negotiable principles and standards that they have that they know needs to make a team function successfully. So I'll stop there because I know I gave a lot to start.
What resonated with me is you talked about not having a specific answer for everything, because once you start doing one thing, well, defense takes that away. How do we make defense wrong? So there's a solution for every problem, but there's also a problem for every solution. And that's what the defense does to you. So completely agree. I think that's what conceptual offense is, or just conceptual basketball is. And that's where coaches, like you said, it takes courage to take that leap of, you know, how oftentimes do we say, all right, defense is always wrong, so we're going to plan to do this. If they take that away, then we can do that. And if they take that away, then we can do this. And that's the fun part of modern coaching or modern basketball to me. I think too often we say, all right, traditional coaching would say, we're going to run this play. Defense is going to guard it this way. So we're going to get this shot. But how many times do you watch film with a team and you go through the defensive side and you're like, hey, we should have guarded this screen that way. We should have jumped to the ball and been here. So offensively, you can't assume that defense is going to play it perfect. So I think a lot of what you said was like preparing players for unscripted moments, right? Like, just can we equip players to make decisions and make plays on the fly?
Yeah, it's improv. You know, it's not a movie. It's improv. And I think, you know, more and more coaches, you know, we don't come from that. You know, I had a talk with some coaches the other day, and I was like, you know, it's hard because they'd like to buy into the whole process thing, but they don't come from process, right? So they're trying to learn how to do it as they're trying to implement it. And that sounds great, but when you get in those moments and you feel the pull to go back to what you know or what you come from, that's the exact opposite of process. It's like, of course you do, because you don't come from it. That's one of them. You know, you talk about like the scripted stuff. It's like, you know, coaches, think about it this way. It's like saying, okay, so we want to go here. There's a destination, right? At the end of our season, whether it be a way we play or things we do or don't do, or even a tangible record or win, there's a place you want to go, right? Okay, that's fine. That's your destination. And then you have a path you know you want to take to get there. That path needs to be how you play, your standards, your culture, your team dynamics. That's the thing. And as a coach, that should be it. We should have the destination and the road we're willing to get there. But what coaches say is, that's not enough. You got to go in this kind of car with this color paint, with this meat. Like, it's like, okay, well, then we're not going to go, because it's just too hard to make all those things get you there. So, yeah, I think modern coaching is also a little bit of simplification in terms of what's important to you. I think modern coaching is also comes with a heavy dose of player empowerment.
Yeah, you said something good, like what's important to you. Figure out what you value. I think most coaches would lean towards one side or the other as far as offense or defense. And I think what modern basketball or modern coaching, we keep saying like coaching, teaching, is all right, let's say I'm a defensive coach and I really value these three things, like whatever defensive system that I run takes these things away. Well, then try to get those things offensively. And I think that is a more modern approach rather than coaching in isolation of, well, this is the offense that we run and this is the defense that we run and this is our transition defense and how these things connect. I don't really know. I don't have a plan for that. So I think just start, like you said, just very principle based. What do you want to give up? What do you want to take away? And then whatever, if you understand one side of the ball, you should understand the other side of the ball, because it should be the inverse.
Which is the game of opposites, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. It's just a game of opposites. And it's what advantage can we get and play out of to give us the best chances to score? And then what advantage are we okay with them beating us with? And if they do, they do. But you can't take away everything. So you just have to, like, understand the math of it all. And we're going to play this math on one end, and we're going to play this math on the other end. And there it is.
Yeah, that's really liberating too. I mean, I know when I was coaching full time, if we lost a team and the game kind of went the way we wanted to go, it was the pace, it was the environment, it was conceptual, and they beat us, it was really easy to get over that. You know, just tip the hat, like, gosh, we got to get better. They were better than us tonight. When the game didn't go our way is when it was harder to swallow. You said something really good too, is like coaches usually revert back to what they know and what they're comfortable with. And, you know, I think most coaches coach the way they were coached. And we don't want our cars or our phones, our computers to look like they did when we were growing up. We shouldn't want our coaches to look the same. And I think just like, it would be a question to you. Let's say a coach reached out and they want to shift towards modern basketball. What would be the first place to start? If you're that coach that wants to go, but a little bit hesitant, you're dipping your toe in the water, how would you encourage them to take the next step? Now, that's a tough question, man, because there's so many avenues you could go.
There is. And I actually think that's actually the problem. There's so many avenues to go, right? Because you go to, you know, you go to clinics, or you start listening to things like this, which, you know what, it all makes sense and sounds good in these moments. I know that one of the biggest crises we have in our game is players don't get enough reps, and they definitely don't get enough good reps in terms of what they're supposed to be doing, how they're supposed to be doing it, right? I would say that crisis is even worse for coaches. Like, they don't have anywhere to go to go, okay, I learned this stuff, I'm interested, I like it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to pivot from it. I don't know what to do if it goes south. I don't know what south looks like. I don't even know how I know if I'm doing it right. So what do I do? Well, I put it all on paper and it all sounds great. And then I go to my team and you get that moment as a coach where you feel like, okay, this isn't going like I thought it would or should, or, and then what happens? You immediately go back to what you were. And then, cause you're worried about losing the kids, right? Because it's, you know, kids are always playing AAU games, right? It always counts for the kids. Well, it always counts for the coaches too, because they're always coaching to win. So I'm not answering your question because I don't really know the answer. I think identifying where you are is the first step to changing where you're going. Just get players in the gym to start teaching different. You know, I'm not even saying it's a business or you're doing player development. I'm saying just get kids in the gym. I mean, April, October is a long time, man. I mean, it's a long time. You can start to develop new habits, new ways, new thought processes. You can know what you don't know. You know, you can stumble and fall and get up and run again in that time. I mean, I think coaches just need to get in the gym more. I know we all said about players, but I think coaches need to get in the gym more.
Yeah, I agree. I love where you went to with just players need more reps, right? Especially you reference like they're playing AAU, they're playing a lot, which I agree, but what they're also not doing is playing recreationally. Instead, they're going to a trainer and doing stuff on their own. So how do we get players more reps? How do we get coaches in the gym more? I would say one first step you could do to get your players more reps and you more reps in teaching and coaching as a coach, games approach. Like I, that would be like the first place I would start is like, see if you want to go into modern basketball right now, what I would be doing if I was a coach is like, all right, we do this drill. How could I gamify it? And a game doesn't have to be like me and Edward are playing one-on-one. Let's see who's going to win. It could be a modified game. The goal of the game could be, you know, who can get inside the shell and jump stop on 2 feet.
It could be anything. Point.
Yeah. It could be anything. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we're going to talk about some of that later about teaching and stuff. So I have some stuff I want to say with that, but yeah, I mean, so that's, and I guess, you know, your question's so good because it raises more questions, right? That's kind of a good question is where do coaches go to actually start, which is maybe why some coaches don't start. Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a real need we have as a place to come around coaches and get them to get messy, to work for free. Right. In terms of like, doesn't cost them wins or losses. Like, so, and cause that's where our game's going to move forward the most, right? Is if we can get coaches leaning into that new way of thinking and the courage to do it, but as important as that is a space to fail with that, for free, you know, they don't. One of the other signs of modern basketball for me is what scoreboard as a coach are you playing to? Right. And then we need to make sure coaches have a space to where they can have time to play to a different scoreboard as well. So that would be my answer. That's not an answer.
Yeah, no, it's good. All right, let's go to the mailbag. So first mailbag question comes from Mark Kruzik in our community, and it's about limiting turnovers. And the question is, he says it's the age old question of what can be done to eliminate bad decision passes. And actually, I like this question because he didn't just say, how can I eliminate turnovers? Because I think turnovers can be either skill-based or decision-based. Let's say decision-based. What would be an approach to help this coach if you were going to work with him to eliminate some bad decision passes?
I mean, that's such a potentially specific question to his group that probably has some commonality along other places, right? Like, I mean, the answer always to start is spacing, right? And I say that, you know, meaning if their spacing's poor, the vision becomes poorer. Therefore, the decision-making becomes cloudy, probably becomes sped up. And then therefore, your skill set really becomes important. So if I'm an average player and we have below average spacing, and then I get sped up, the turnover's coming. So I would say always start with spacing. That's always the answer. So you got to clean up your spacing first to give people more AB decisions and clearer reads, right? So that's first. Second is advantage and ball awareness. If it's a skill issue, that's normally on the player making the turnover. If it's a decision issue, that's very possibly a collective turnover, whether, like I said, comes from spacing or movement or ball awareness or advantage awareness. So I don't know if I have the answer for that because I don't know what the issue is. If it's a decision right now, is that a player with the ball can't assess what they see in terms of primary, secondary defense, 1, 2, 3 levels of defense, what they're supposed to be doing relative to the player? Are we off script and just playing, you know, advanced basketball? By not knowing what their exactities are, I would say spacing first, advantage of ball awareness second, and then do you guys as a team have in place some vocabulary and processes that help you make read decisions, like that you can tie back to primary defender, secondary defender, you know, in terms of your read, shoulder, chest, or are these things in place that you can just tie right back to as opposed to making it about the turnover you just saw?
Man, I think you hit it right on the head. So you actually went one step than I would. So that was really good. I was going to say train the eyes. Like you said, poor spacing leads to poor vision and that leads to poor decisions. I was going to say, teach them what to look for. I think oftentimes as coaches, we'll just say, oh, that pass wasn't open or this pass was open. And as a player, it's like, okay, like I got that. Like I turned the ball over, but I don't know why. Like what should I have been looking for? So I think a modern basketball approach could be training the eyes. If you see this, then don't throw it there. Or if you see this, then do throw it there. Because you're exactly right. Poor vision leads to poor decisions. So train the eyes first. And then you said something really good about like AB Reed in language. So specific feedback is one, but also can we iron some things down into if then statements? That would be a way to make things specific to us. We're going to teach in our own language. And then again, with language, just having like consistent terminology that we use for players, defining what is open, what's not open. You said shoulder, chest, something I teach as well. Like see shoulder, keep going, see chest, counter. All of those are like very specific and tight with language, but also again, training the eyes. So, all right, let's do this one. This one's good because it's another kind of modernish approach, something that we push coaches into. He's calling this is from Todd Cunningham. He's calling this dummy defense. And I would refer to this now as I'm assuming guided defense. But let's see. So he's saying dummy defense. Do you use dummy defense? Defense that is meaning defense that is not your main defense or defensive identity. Does using a dummy defense take reps away from your actual defense? Does dummy defense make your team any better? And then does dummy defense increase IQ? In fact, let me do this. I'll answer first here. Let's use dummy defense as like token defense of like not guided and not what we run. I would be less in on that than guided defense. So dummy defense, does it take reps away from your actual defense? Probably. Does it make your team any better? No. Does it increase the IQ of your players? Maybe not, probably not. As far as dummy, like, hey, we're just out here being dummies. Guided defense can do a lot of that though. Guided defense would be you're providing a read for a player. So let's say shoulder chest. I like to teach shoulder chest in a variety of ways or use it in a variety of context. One, just ball handling. If you're guarding me in the full court, ooh, this is going to be the game of the week. Perfect. If you're guarding me in the full court and I see your shoulder, I can keep going, right? If I see your chest, I would counter. So a guided defender would be, hey, we're not playing live, but Edward, see how many times you can put your chest in front of Mark to make him counter. Not live, not trying to steal the ball from me. I'm not trying to score. You're trying to create as many counter situations for me as possible. To me, that increases IQ because now we have to make sure Edwards understands what's going to make Mark change direction. Ooh, that's getting my chest in front. Okay, so let me do that. So yeah, I would say absolutely. I would use guided defense over dummy defense.
I agree with everything you said. I don't know if there's an actual scenario. I'm trying to think of one. Maybe you can help me out here, Mark, where dummy defense, quote unquote, is ever needed, right?
I think, let me say this. I think the traditional approach would be we're installing something, I guess, like offensively. So let's put dummy defense out there, or maybe we're preparing for an opponent that plays this way. Could we be out there? To me, that'd be the only approach that I could maybe see it being used, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Exactly. Because I think anything dummy defense does runs the risk of creating a habit that you that's going to hurt you. Whereas everything you said about guided defense, I agree with 100%. I think it's a reference that helps the offense get better. But I also think there's some residual benefits to guided defense. What I mean by that is if we're working, and I'll just use like our terminology here, if we're working on giving the ball handler downhill that has a downhill advantage on a primary defender a chest read from their primary defender at level two, and we're working on the counters of that and then how everyone rotates over, because that's what we need to work on, right? And or that's what we think we're going to be seeing from the team we play. For whatever reason you work on, fine. There's a chance that you're going to play a team that you're going to have to give that same read to that's actually going to be your right decision relative to the team you're playing. So those reps aren't wasted, right? So that's what the thing with a dummy rep, with a dummy defense is it's a wasted rep. And back to modernizing basketball, as a coach, as efficient as you can get to where every rep you do comes back to help you at some point, the better, right? Because it's all just habit forming. So if we're working to, you know, on, again, go back to it, right? Chess reads at level two on a primary defender, because that's what we need to work on in terms of ball handling or making counters in tight spaces as we get closer to the rim, whatever, whatever, that's fine. But think about what I just said. So we define level two as level one is where you're a threat to shoot. Level three is about that volleyball line down to the rim. So level two is that kind of mid-range. Well, think about how many teams, especially in high school basketball, that you can short circuit if you can run them off the line and give them a chest before they get to the level three. If you make them play, make decisions, make moves, be efficient with their ball handling because you need less of it and have less space to do so at level two. So, I just think as a premise, if you could go into a practice coaches and say, everything I do is a deposit back into our team at some point, whether it's immediate or it's an investment for later, so be it. But I can't waste reps. And the traditional dummy defense, I think, flirts with that line a little too much for me.
Well said. All right, let's go to the game of the week here. I'm going to share one that I used this week. And I share this one because I made a couple tweaks here. One we'll see in this example, and then one I'll add to it. So one-on-one, and we're starting on the baseline. And what's unique to this is both players are going to hold a ball. And the reason why I did this is this was at the youth level, and I wanted to level the playing field a little bit. This was a tryout, so it's not like we had a highly skilled group from top to bottom. Any youth basketball program, you're probably not having like a lot of skill top to bottom. So this is a way to level the playing field where skill and challenge are somewhat equal. And it doesn't allow the defense to just foul, and be overly physical and take away from what we're trying to accomplish. We're going to start one-on-one, and offense's job is to get to half court. Now, ideally, these are not great examples. This is the first time this kid has ever done this, but ideally, we change our speed and change our direction to get there. We can see this player is just kind of going one direction, one speed. We would want to just in front, counter all the things that we're talking about, use the whole court, obviously, minus the sidelines. And once we get to half court, as soon as number 13, this was another addition on my part. As soon as 13, the kid on offense picks up their ball, now we go offense to defense and defense goes to offense. So now they're going to play one-on-one live back on a goal. And then now we could incorporate what Edward was saying is we could get a shoulder chest read at the first level, second level, or third level here. First level or second level, the counters could be different. At the third level, I would imagine counters are going to be very different, maybe like a Euro, a pro hop, something where the defense gets their chest in front. So let's watch one more rep here. And this is these would be a little bit better rep here. So we call this one-on-one rodeo because you got 8 seconds to get the half court. And then you could play 8 second shot clock on the way back as well. So both players have 8 seconds. Change your speed, change your direction. You can pick up the ball to be the cue to go one-on-one. And then another tweak that I made with a different group is when they got to half court, they were out of control. Like they were blowing by the line. They were picking the ball up, traveling. So I said, okay, when you get to half court, jump stop. When we jump stop, that's going to cue the change of offense to defense and defense to offense. So we'll watch their rep on the way back. Again, holding the ball is going to make them use their feet, less hands defensively. Pretty good rep there both ways. So that is our game of the week. We call that one-on-one rodeo.
I mean, I think there's just levels to it. Like you said, you could add and do what you want with it. So, Mark, question for you. Where did you get that game from?
Have you seen it before? I got it from Phil Martelli. Okay, no. I got it from Phil Martelli.
And I would imagine the first time you did, it was a mess, and you probably have edited it some and made it your own and done a little different tweaks and whatever, right?
Yep.
Okay, so coaches, that's modern basketball. Like, that's modern basketball, right? Like, find something, steal it, edit it, figure it out. It's okay if it's sloppy, and then don't stop it. Like, have a plan, have a reason why you're doing it, express why you're doing it, have a reason, like a have an end goal with it, even if the end goal is like have a mission for each drill. I hate drills, but drill. But that's modern basketball, right?
Yeah. Here's other ways that we've modified it. So here's how to level it up. Put two defenders out there.
Yeah.
And now best ball handling drill you can do is that, right? You got to change your speed direction. You got to be deceptive. You got to show some cleverness. You got to really change your pace. Once you get to half court, put the ball down, those players come back 2-on-1 against you. So now you build a little 2-on-1 in there. You can start teaching how to protect the paint, be a safety and a 2-on-1 transition piece. But yeah, here's another modern basketball approach that you said was really good. I think you said it's like, don't stop it. Wait for things. Oh, maybe I'm stepping on a teaching tool here. Wait for things to be a pattern before we stop something.
Like right.
That player did not change their speed direction. I'm not going to stop it and kill their sweat and just bring the energy out of the gym. I can always grab that player on the side and say, hey, this is what I like. I like how you protected the ball. Here's what I'd like to see you try on your next rep. Try to use more of the court. Well, if I just tell him use more of the court, he's going to change his direction, right? So yeah, all right. That is our game of the week, 1-on-1 rodeo. I used to call it 1-on-1 Philly because I got it from Phil Martelli, but right. I changed it to rodeo for 8-second shot clock, and then the 2-on-1 is also good for the 8 seconds. All right, Edward, hit us with a teach better tool of the week. Let's do it.
Yeah, so the first one is a formula that we use at Court Sessions, all of our teachers do, that we found just to be really successful. It's called TRC. The letters are TRC, and stands for Teach, Rep, Compete, right? So everything you do has to run through those filters, has to go through that formula. So the first is teach, right? So teaching is the coach or teacher actually teaching it. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? How are you doing it? When are you doing it? What do you want to stay away from? Like, you know, one of the biggest mistakes I made earlier in my career was everything was so exact, right? Because I was such a brilliant basketball mind. So this is how you do it. And then just through mentors and paying attention and being frustrated that I wasn't getting the improvement I thought I could be getting from players, though it was good, it wasn't to what I wanted. I was like, man, I'm just giving them the path to success. Like, and if that's how you do it right, that means everything else is wrong. So part of the teaching is, hey, just don't do these kind of cardinal sins. And then find, like, basketball is so fluent. Just find you within the don'ts. And here's why you don't do those things, right? So teach. And then in teaching, that's our job as the teacher. And then in teaching, I think there's some teaching time involved for the players, meaning go do this at learning speed. Fumble through it, walk through it, run through it, sprint through it, whatever. Like, get it. And then after they kind of conceptually understand what they're doing, they need to rep it. And the repping comes at game speed. Can I put together and put in rhythm the sequence of techniques, skill sets, decision makings, whatever it is we're doing, whether it be individually or collectively, can we rep it out? And that is completely unattached from outcome. That is just blind work. And in that, as a coach, I'm seeing, do I need to go back and teach something different? To kind of mark your point is, if one kid makes a mistake, I ask myself, is that a mistake? Like, what am I seeing? Am I seeing a mistake because they don't know what they're doing? or am I seeing a mistake? Because they just need reps, right? And as coaches, we can sit here, you know, out of emotion and go, well, I just taught them that basketball is hard. And it'll probably take a couple thousand real reps over time to make that a habit. Well, if I'm stopping the fourth rep, we're never getting to the thousand that I know it's going to take to get better. So the repping needs to happen, right? And then after they rep it, they have to compete with it. And they're not going to compete with it. And that's one of the bigger, the other modern basketball nice things. Like, I think coaches have never said this, but we imply it by saying, we're going to rep out stuff, we're going to drill it, and then we're going to scrimmage. Because all the stuff I just taught you is going to show up in the scrimmage. And then all coaches are pulling their hair out like, we just worked on that. Like, that's another modernized coaching. Don't say we just worked on that. Stop saying that. So, and then you find a way to compete with it. And the competition can be anything. I mean, just get super creative with that. So that's it. Teach, rep, compete. And then I think for coaches, part of the modernizing of basketball in terms of our soft skills is, does my tone reflect what time it is, right? Like, my tone as a coach when I'm teaching sounds a lot different than it does when we're repping. And then when they're competing, I'm not judging anything. I'm just judging effort and almost like mistake response more than anything. And as a coach, when they're competing, that's my black light time, right? So like the black light shows you all the stuff that you can't see. Well, when we're competing in that TRC, that's my black light time. Like, man, we don't make good decisions in traffic. We don't like physicality. We can't rotate. You know, we get whatever it is. That's just black light time where I'm figuring out, what do I start the TRC over with again? So that's the first one. The second one is more with the gamification, the small side of games. I know you guys talk a lot about that. I'm a huge proponent of that. But with that is playing more surgical pickup. So example, surgical pickup, like I'll have kids in the gym and we'll do a session and we'll play threes or fours or five, whatever after. And the surgery is this, they have to pick an action to run. They have to run it. There's no, like, and the defense can, they don't know what they're picking, but as soon as they start running, okay, this team's running splits or whatever, but they have to run it, right? And then, so one, it's surgical in terms of what we're working on. Two, the defense is surgical in terms of how are we playing actions and how are we playing players, right? So I'm going to play Mark as a shooter. I'm going to play Ed as a driver. We're going to bump actions and recover no matter what they are. So it has to happen. And then within that surgery, we also give bonus points to certain actions, right? If you can hang out in the paint, you get double. If you hit a corner three, it's a game, whatever. And we have one per game. And then to even make it even better, sometimes we play on the board, which means, Mark, if you and I are on a team and we score off of split actions and we hang out, we get double points. Great. But we can't get that point until we get a stop on the next team. So now their offensive set is going to be much more disciplined because they know a poor disciplined shot leads to our points. But now our defense goes up because if we foul, we give away the point we just scored. So all of that is really a drill, but the players think they're scrimmaging. So there's the two. Teach, rep, compete, and surgery.
I like it. Question I get a lot, I'm sure you do too, is, you know, how do you do conditioning or, you know, I always say play basketball. Like if you could play this like surgical pickup, that'd be great conditioning. And then also the frustration, the frustration is like, well, if we play pickup, like my guys or girls, they don't take it serious. We don't get any better, but, yeah. So really good to make it, surgical, and you actually can get better by coaching just by playing games. Just because you're playing games doesn't mean that you're not coaching or teaching. So really good, man. I enjoy talking with you, and I know you added a lot of value. I love the teach, rep, compete. Great way to categorize your drills and games. And then also you said something really good, like modify your level of instruction and type of feedback that you get, depending on what type of drill or game that you're playing. So that is the hours for this week. If you like this one, if you got something, share it with a friend, smash the like button if you're on YouTube, and we appreciate you listening. We'll see y'all next time, and stay savvy. Oh.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.